Hello, my friend. Jeff C. here with a great new resource that I put together just for you. It's a complete database of all the tools that I use to create content and run my business. I've got apps, software, hardware, and even my favorite AI tools. It's easy to find what you need and tells you exactly how I'm using them in my business. To get access to my toolbox, just go to jeffc.com/toolbox. That's J-E-F-F. S is in Sam, I-E-H. That's I before E, especially in C. That's how my mama had me learn it. So go check it out. And if you haven't heard me say it in a while, I appreciate you listening, my friend. And now, on with the episode.
Welcome to the Manly Pinterest Tip Show. Pinterest Tip Show. A show designed to assist man in his quest to succeed on Pinterest. If you have interests in the content you want to share, content you want your clients to see, learn ways to grow and succeed in this unique and exciting world, one man will assist you on your journey. To become a pinner and grow your presence online, men and women can share in the success. And here to show you how
is your host,
Jeff C. Adding testosterone, one pin at a time.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the Manly Pinterest Tips Podcast. I'm Jeff C., and you're not. I'm very excited to have someone on the show I've followed for a long time, Denise Wakeman, and we're going to be talking about using micro-content to boost your visibility. Denise is an online business strategist. She is host of the popular video show and podcast, Adventures in Visibility, focused on helping small businesses and online entrepreneurs to optimize, leverage, and strategically use social marketing tools to gain visibility, build credibility, and make more money selling their products and services. This interview is from a live hangout on air that I did with Denise, where our live audience participated by asking questions during the interview. If you'd like to be a part of one of our live shows and ask your own questions, make sure to head on over to manlypinteresttips.com and join our email community to find out how you can be a part of our live show. You can also text Manly Pinterest Tips to 33444 on your mobile device. That's Manly Pinterest Tips to 33444. I always learn something new when I talk with Denise, so let's jump right into my conversation with Denise Wakeman. Denise is passionate about adventure travel and how it can inspire you to think bigger and go for what's possible in your business and life. In fact, Denise, I wanted to talk to you about, because I loved your Instagram photos when you did your trip to India. I thought those were awesome. And I'm sure we'll talk about that today when we talk about micro content. But yeah. Denise, thank you for being with us here today.
Thank you, Jeff. I thought it was just brilliant when you suggested that we do a double feature today. So I'm glad to be here.
It's a lot of fun. You know? Yeah, it is fun. It is fun. So as I'm talking to Denise today, if you have any questions, make sure you ask them in the comments and we'll try to get those pulled in for you and answered between the two of us today. So Denise, I've followed you for such a long time, but I really don't know what, I'm sure it's an adventurous story, but how did you get started on social media?
That is an adventurous story. I started working online in 1996, and you know, there was no social media then. It was barely a website and barely email. Not very many people had those two things at that time. It was just starting, right? Uh-huh. Built a business coaching practice with my former husband using, you know, email newsletter, simple website, in-person networking, you know, right, that kind of thing. Then that relationship ended and I moved back to Los Angeles. We were living in Canada at the time. Moved back to Los Angeles, which is where I'm from and where I'm sitting today. And I knew I needed to do something because I didn't have a business anymore. Right. So I started a business basically doing the same thing, online marketing, because that's what I'd been doing for the previous business. And I knew, well, if I did it for that business and we grew it to, you know, a successful business, I could do it for my own. I could do it for other people. And, you know, I'm an active experimenter. I am somebody who loves to try stuff. When I started on the web in 96, 97, I felt like I was at home. It was just like, this is my place. This is perfect for me. And so, you know, just as things come up, I try them. And so, you know, when blogging started to get in some buzz, and I started blogging in 2004, and I became a huge evangelist for blogging. I mean, I had never seen anything that was such a game changer and a ground leveler, you know, playing field leveler for the small business. I just jumped on that one so fast, and I'm so glad I did. And so, you know, as new tools kept arriving, new networks, you know, I was on MySpace for a short time.
Right.
Remember that one?
Yeah.
Never really did that much with it. But then, you know, Twitter came up real fast. I was on that in 2007, you know, then Facebook. And then just as new platforms opened up, I would just jump right on and start experimenting and learning and meeting people. And I just love it. I just love it. And that's what I help my audience, my clients do as well, is embrace it.
Right. I think what you said about the ground leveler, it was attractive to a lot of people. And I still, you know, it's harder than it, you know, like when you first started blogging, I mean, you've probably written thousands of posts.
Yeah.
It's harder for those people who are coming on now, but it's still, I think, possible. It's not out of the realm of possibility to really boost your business with blogging and social media.
Oh, I think that there's no choice, personally.
Okay. Yeah, that's a very good point. I wanted to give a shout out real quick to a couple people in the audience who joined us, and one of the best supporters around, Jim Sharp. Thank you for stopping by. And Dustin, thank you so much.
Hey, Dustin.
Hey, Dustin. Thanks for checking me out on Periscope. That's pretty cool. But I want to kind of dive right in, because, you know, one of the things you specialize in, and you talk to a lot about your clients and in a lot of your blog posts, is micro content. So what is micro content? What exactly is that?
Well, the way I look at it is that it's the opposite of long form content. So long form is your blog posts, your articles, ebooks, special reports, those things that you really have to take, you know, a long time to create, or it takes longer to create. You know, blog posts could be 500, 750 words, 1,000 words, whatever. So the micro content, or short form content, is tweets, status updates on any of your preferred social platforms. Mm-hmm. It's images, text quotes, GIFs, Vine videos, Instagram videos. You know, so like when you created the video promoting our two shows, you know, that was like, oh, micro content, that's perfect. This is the perfect way to illustrate micro content. 15 seconds to give you a quick sneak peek at what's coming up to entice people to click the link and sign up and go join us. Right.
That's a good definition. Now, I know a lot of people consider micro content, because I looked up the definition on Wikipedia. So people don't think I'm just a genius anyway. But they said that micro content is that is skimmable. Do you agree? Do you think that's something? Now, do you think we need to kind of rethink our entire marketing strategy around micro content?
I think that there's not much choice right now. You know, people are talking about visual marketing. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a big buzzword. And I equate some micro content with visual marketing. I think that's what we notice the most. So if you spend any time skimming a news feed on whatever platform, again, you know, Facebook is notorious, or, you know, you got your, you know, you're sitting waiting at the doctor's office or whatever, and you're just like, you know, going down your phone, that it's the things you need to create content that's going to jump out at people. So a lot of text, most people glaze over. So things like images, GIFs, because they're moving, you know, they're animated, and it's like, whoa, stop, you know. Or, I mean, and that's why Facebook is brilliant, that with your videos, they just start playing the video.
Mm-hmm.
No sound, but the movement is there because it stops you.
Right.
It stops you in your tracks. So I think that it's really important, if you want to get the attention of your audience, you have to do something that stops them in their tracks, or stops them in the newsfeed, and makes them click on the link to see more. And that's you know, I observe my own behavior because I know I'm no different from anybody else out there who's, you know, killing time in on during the commercials when you're watching The Voice or whatever. You know,
right,
I just
right.
give myself away. I'm a fan. And they use micro content very well. But, you know, I am looking for the thing that is going to jump out at me. So that's going to be, you know, a picture, a compelling picture, a compelling video. It's going to be a compelling headline. So a headline, also a tweet, that's micro content, right? So yes, we need to take that into account if we want to grab attention of our ideal audience.
Now, you mentioned you've been blogging since when? What, 2000 and was
2004.
It 2004. Has your writing style changed to go more to the skimmable content because of that?
I use more images in my blog posts, definitely. I still write long form blog posts. You know, I do make sure that I have subheads and that sort of thing, but I do integrate more visual content so that it is easier to stop people, you know, and I use, you know, like Click to Tweet, that plugin. Well, I use the Social Warfare plugin. Hi, Dustin. because it has the Click to Tweet built in. So that stops people. And of course that gets really into, you know, the whole micro content thing is because you can create the content that then your audience shares for you that says the message you want them to share versus making them make it up. So, you know, that's taking it to another level as well.
Yeah. Social Warfare is a great plugin because it lets you do that for each platform like Pinterest. Mm-hmm. And one of the tips that I always use when I have a Social Warfare thing, just like you can do with Twitter, you can at mention people. So like when I post this on my blog with you, I'll make sure that the Pinterest description also says at Denise Wakeman, whatever your Pinterest handle is. So you will get notified every time somebody shares a piece of content, which makes the value for those people coming on my show and just kind of perpetuates down the road. So
right. That's
a little tip. We do have a question I want to pull up, and it is from Dustin. And he goes, I've gone back and forth with considering blog posts micro content. Is there a time word limit? Yeah, a suggestion for the length of like a blog post that you're wanting to do micro content?
Well, I am not aware of any rule for micro content as length and time. I typically think of blog posts as longer form because that is the piece of content that enables you to get more intimate with your audience, with your reader, with that potential client that you want to then really establish your authority and your expertise with. So I'm all for, you know, making that as long as you need to. I mean, and we've seen lots of really big blogs are very successful with 1,000+ word blog posts, Social Media Examiner, Copy Blogger, to name a few. But using the short form to get people to the blog, then really going deep in the blog with your calls to action to then move to your email list or your webinar, or your freebie, whatever it is that you want them to do.
Gotcha. Well, Krishna has a good point. She goes, in my experience, micro content does not necessarily mean it takes only a micro amount of time to create, which I would agree with as well.
Yes. So. Hi, Krishna. I'm so glad to see her here. I agree. My micro content takes me time. And I have to admit, though, I have more fun creating it than writing blog posts.
Right.
And the thing is, I'm not, like, I am graphically challenged. I am not that great at creating video. Like, you create amazing trailer videos, and you really know how to repurpose them so beautifully. But I have fun doing it. So I tend, for me, what's the easiest to create is the images and like quote images or blog post images, you know, that people can pin and share my blog posts with. And I'll tell you what has totally changed how that works for me. I've cut off at least a half an hour on an image because for me, it's not so much what to say on it. It's what picture to use.
you know? Right. That is
and what I did is like, because I like to play with stuff. I love to, you know, oh, look at that cool template. Look at that really neat font, whatever. All my images were just inconsistent. Mm. They were all over the place because I would just do whatever, you know, was like, oh, that's a nice one. Ooh, I like that one. Look at that color. That's a nice color.
Right.
Well, I got, you know, smart, and I hired Dre Beltrami, mm-hmm. and she created a couple of templates for me to use for my blog posts and my quote images, my square quote images. And now the only thing it really takes me time is to figure out the picture. But since I know that my message is around adventure, and for me, that's really about the outdoors because I love to run and hike and travel. So it's going to be stuff like that. And I take a ton of pictures, so I use mostly my own.
Right.
So now it's more like just going in and finding one of my adventures and say, okay, that's a great landscape. I'll use that. And having that template, it's totally changed. I don't think about the font because the font is already decided. I don't think about the branding. That's already decided. I just flip over that little element and it's just on there. Totally changed everything. So thank you, Dre.
Well, it looks great. I mean, one of the things that impressed me is even because, like we had mentioned before, that I was on your show earlier today and we were kind of doing this double episode, that you had sent out, you went and found some quotes of me from articles that I've written, and you were using that to promote the show, which I think is just a genius way to do it. I usually do it after, but I thought, man, that's a great way to promote. And that's micro content. I mean, that's little stuff. And then the video I did, because I think the only way to survive in this landscape is, and you mentioned it before, is repurposing. So I made that video, but when you make video, it's important to think ahead on the different platforms it's going to go to, because Instagram, you've only got 15 seconds. Twitter, now you have 30. Vine is what, 6, which I usually don't do much on Vine, but so thinking how you can edit that later, and I just crop it in there and I didn't have to redo a bunch of work. And so I already had templates set up. And I think that's the only way to survive. So think ahead for your micro content that, okay, how can I repurpose this all in these other networks?
Yeah. And I think that looking at the template piece, I know I'm late to the party on this template thing, you know, for my own brand, but I've explained why, is that that's so important because then it does create that consistency for the brand. You know, your stuff is very consistent. You always know, I mean, I can almost always pick out a Jeff C video.
Oh, thanks.
And I think that's important too. So that goes to the thinking ahead. It's like, okay, what do I need? What element do I need to be the consistent element? And, you know, again, I thank Dre Beltrami for really hammering this into my head. It's not like I didn't know it, but I wasn't practicing what I preach, you know, and, you know, now I am. Well, exactly. I'm a convert. But, you know, going back to what you were saying about the quotes, like to promote my show, that's, you know, I ask all my guests to give me links to some articles that relate to what we're doing, because that's, I want to like create that sense of you're going to learn something, that sense of curiosity, like, well, what else can I learn about? What can I hear about? What else does this person know? And to me, because I like quote images, that makes it really consistent with everything else that I'm doing.
Right. Well, and I think the thing, you see a lot of quote images, but they're usually, you know, live long and prosper kind of things. Yours were specific. This is what this person said. And, you know, and that made it more, I think, real. I mean, I love quote graphics and they do very, very well on all platforms. But having a quote that actually meant something is even better, I think. So,
yeah.
Do you think micro content is just social media, or is there other ways? I mean, is that, I know that's probably where it's used the most, but is that the only place micro content is?
Actually, I think that it's crossing out of, well, how should I say this? I think that micro content is bringing social to other places. So think about television. Television you don't normally think of as, you know, a micro content platform. I mean, maybe the commercials might be considered that, but, you know, you're usually watching a show that's half an hour, whatever. But what I'm starting to see is the integration, and this has actually been happening for a while now. I'm sure everybody's seen it, the integration. So I brought up The Voice earlier. Okay, yeah. I am a fan, and I think they do micro content really well because they show a Twitter feed going across the show. You know, so they're bringing it into the television. So somebody doesn't necessarily even have to have a Twitter account knowing what everybody's talking about around the world, you know.
Gotcha.
And I know they're not the only ones doing this, but they're among the first I saw really embracing it. They also use their Instagram account, I mean, like crazy. Mm-hmm. So especially on the days of the shows, you know, you can't forget. If you follow them, you cannot forget that that show is on. You know, and right. You get a lot of the behind the scenes. So I think that it micro content is helping non-social to attract people in social. So maybe that's the opposite of what you were asking.
No, that's good. I you know, one of the, you know, and businesses ask this all the time is, you know, how does micro content go viral? You know, they see a meme or a quote that gets thousands of views. And the question I have is, how does that help business? I mean, a small business. Is it just because people are clicking back to their account, or, you know, I always tell people, try not to make things viral. Those you can't do it. It just happens.
Yeah.
So.
I don't think you can make anything viral. I mean, if it happens, it's like, whoa, okay, great. You know, it's hard to know what will make something go viral. But I think that what's important for any, you know, small, medium, solo business to know is that because there is so much noise in our world now, there's so much content flowing at us. Unfortunately, the ironic thing is that you have to create more content, you know, to try and stand out. Because if you say, oh, I give up, forget it, I don't want to do this, well, you become irrelevant. You become invisible. Essentially, because if you're not doing it, your competitor is, and that's who your audience is going to see. So creating deciding on what to create for your business, because I never advocate that you have to do everything. You need to find what you enjoy doing and where the intersection is with your audience, you know, where they are. Because if you don't like doing it, or somebody in your, you know, the company doesn't like doing it, then it won't get done. No matter what you say, it will not get done. Exactly. So I think that it's about knowing that it's going to create awareness. I mean, the visibility creates awareness. It keeps you top of mind. And maybe it doesn't convert immediately, but when people think about whatever it is the solution you have, and they know they've been seeing you talking about it and sharing about it and showing behind the scenes and all that, then it's more likely they'll think of you than somebody who hasn't been doing that.
Very good point. You know, the funny thing is, you know, that video, I haven't done a video in a long time. We did this one for this show, but the people still know me as the video thing, because at the very beginning, when I started to build my brand, I did a lot of videos. I did a lot of videos free for people. And so it does. There is kind of a coasting effect when you create content. Krishna has another question. Let me pull it up real quick. She goes, wondering, Denise, the tool that you're using for changing your images, and is it a transparent ping that you have to overlay on your photos?
Oh, that's so technical. I use Canva, and Dre created the overlay. So I assume it's a ping because that's what Canva creates. And it does. So I choose the image that I want, you know, beautiful picture, Machu Picchu or the Ganges River, or the Himalayas, wherever. And I choose that image, then I overlay the template on it, which has my logo or my URL on it, and then I put the text on it. So that's my process. I can't be more technical than that because I don't know the words. I'm not a designer.
Gotcha. Well, you mentioned something on that about your URL. And so I assume that good, strong call to actions are important for micro content as well. Mm-hmm. And do you always try to point people back to your site? And those graphics that you just mentioned are a great example. But do you do that on every piece of micro content you put out there?
Yes, what URL I use depends on what the purpose of the content is. So, you know, obviously, when I create an image for my blog post, it has my denisewakeman.com URL on it. Most other things have my adventures in visibility because I want to drive people to the landing page where people can sign up to get notice for my adventures in visibility program. And because I am, especially the quote images that I post almost every day, the message there in some way or another is about adventure, journey, life, the trek, the, you know, whatever that has to do with that message in some way, shape, or form. So I want to keep that message together with the adventure theme. So that's
gotcha. And that to pull sense. This back to Pinterest as well, I think it's important for your own pins to put like a watermark or on all mine now for all my images. We talked about templates earlier. I finally feel like I've got a template that I feel comfortable with. Mine's kind of a retro theme and I can, mm-hmm. it's easy for me to modify, but always at the bottom I have manlypinteresttips.com and it's in the same exact position because if you see all my pins laid out, I don't want them janky. I want them all looking nice. And so nailing down that, that Pinterest template or whatever kind of template you're using, yeah. Rebecca Radice recommends using a style guide that she, and yes. you can tell with her, she's got that same orange that she can give to a VA that they can get that exact orange she wants in the product. She can have that girl she puts in there a lot of times. And so having thought out and maybe just taking a couple paragraphs and writing out the styles and the fonts that you're going to mm-hmm. use can really help in the long run.
Yeah. Well, when I first started transitioning into my whole adventure theme and I changed my website and I started using all the pictures that I was taking in Peru and, you know, when I really embraced that, because that's another story. But, you know, what I did, I picked a picture that I really liked that had kind of that, you know, visibility theme where it was a path going off into this gorgeous blue sky, which no filters. This right. was like what it looked like when I was there. And what I did is I took a little color picker and picked a piece of the blue sky and decided that was my blue. And right. I found whatever the hex code would be for that. And that's, you know, and I picked a piece of the brown, you know, from the dirt on the dirt path. And those are my hex codes or my colors, which I have in front of me all the time, which I can give to somebody when they're going to make something for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's. That I agree with the style guide thing. And now I have fonts. I totally, you know, from what the work that Andrea did for me, Dre, mm-hmm. You know, she helped me pick out fonts that were really good for the quote images. And I completely updated all the fonts on my website now too. So I'm like really getting my act together. Like after all these years,
there you go. I want to pull up a comment from Melita. She shows, that's very helpful, Denise, about you how to create more specifically on Canva. And one little tip I'll give you on Canva that's really cool is if you have a filter that you start messing with on Canva and you really like it and you want to use that for your brand, you can copy that filter little hex code, stick it in Evernote, and then you can paste that in to whatever image you want later on down the line. And that way that filter stays there the entire time too. So you can also kind of do a style guide with filter. So just a little quick.
Excellent. Tip. Yeah. Yeah. Dre put a filter on mine when she was setting my stuff up, but it's not on Canva. It's on something else. So I have to run my picture right. through another, but it really doesn't take that long because I know what I'm looking for. I'm not playing. I'm not saying, oh, I like this filter today. I like that filter tomorrow. I like this font today.
Right.
I know what I'm doing. So now, literally, it just takes me a few minutes now to create those quote images where I used to spend half an hour on them just because I was messing around.
Right. Well, back to some micro content. I want to ask some questions. Peg Fitzpatrick and Rebecca Radice taught me this. They will go back in Pinterest and they'll have an evergreen article that has done really well. They'll create a whole nother pin that will point back to that article. And so they're using a new kind of image to point to evergreen. And you mentioned, you know, micro content is easy to create and takes less time than writing an article. Do you think that's a good idea to drip people back using micro content? Like, let's say later on you go and you have written a blog post and you you make another one of your quote graphics from that blog post and start pointing it back that way. Is that an effective strategy?
Yes.
Okay.
In a word, yes.
Okay.
Typically, when I'm teaching my clients or students about micro content, I talk about creating multiple pieces of micro content, you know, when they actually create the blog post. So like what, I can't remember if we talked about it here on the other show, but like you said that you create three different images for your blog posts. Mm-hmm. So that's also what I suggest. So, you know, an image for the actual blog post that's going to go on there when you publish your blog post, a quote image, maybe a quote from the blog, and maybe a quote from you know, that relates to it, you know. Your tweets can become quote images. So absolutely dripping that stuff out, especially if it's a really good post that's evergreen and that you've gotten a ton of feedback on, definitely repost it.
Is that how you define evergreen? Is that it's something that provides value that doesn't have a date on it? Or is it something that you see as being, you know, 6 months ago was getting hit really hard and getting shared everywhere? Let me try doing that again.
I think that they tend to connect. Okay. You know, the stuff that's timeless tends to really resonate very often. So I look at both pieces. You know, is this something that's a bigger picture? It's a strategy thing, or it's a mindset kind of thing, because that often will connect with people too. That will continue to hold up over time, but also you do your dripping on a shorter time span. If it is a time sensitive thing, you know, go back a month later, it's probably still relevant, unless it's, you know, Facebook and it's changed last week. But
right, exactly. Do you have a ratio that, you know, that you have, maybe you've never even thought about it and written it down, but micro versus long-term traffic? I mean, do you like, okay, I'm going to have a blog, and then I'm going to work on spending time making 6 micro pieces of content or something like that? Or do you have any sort of ratio that you use?
I'm not that organized.
Okay, I just was wondering. in one of your articles, you talked a lot about Vine and using that as micro content. And I admit, I am not, 6 seconds is hard for a video guy. It really is, for a produced video. Do you have any suggestions on how to use that effectively, or how you've used it in the past?
It's hard for a non-video gal too.
Okay.
But, you know, I think that it can be effectively used when you're just trying to, you know, when you just have one thing to say. Like, for example, let's say you have a book that's about to launch. I mean, you can just, you know, show the book cover and say, launching on, you know, April 2nd. That's an effective way. You know, go to denisewakeman.com to get my new book. That's less than 6 seconds, I'm pretty sure.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. So I think when you can do something that fast, because most of us aren't going to be producing, you know, like those amazing things where they can put in like a whole, you know, right, story in six
right
seconds. I mean,
right,
none of my clients would ever do that, you know?
Right, right.
So, you know, that's the big brands do it. So I think that when you can say something really fast, I think it's an effective strategy.
Very cool. This is a question I know that people are asking themselves. You know, small business owners almost get into vapor lock, the amount of stuff they have to do. And then there's marketing on top of that. So how can small businesses incorporate or implement micro content without it just becoming one more thing to do?
Well, it is one more thing to do, so I'm not going to lie about that. The thing is that marketing is part of your business. You know, if you want your business to grow and be successful, and I don't care what kind of business you have to allocate time to marketing, period. And a micro content strategy is marketing. You know, when people say to me like, oh, all this marketing stuff, it takes too long, blah, 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 it's like, okay, well, do you not want a business? You know, I mean, really.
Right. Right.
I mean, when I hear that, I don't want to blog, I don't want to do social media, I just kind of think, well, but that is what we do now.
Right.
That's got to be a part of what you do. So for me, it's not really legitimate to say, oh, I don't want to do micro content. It's like, well, that's what gets attention now.
Right. Right.
So find a way. Now, of course, you can hire somebody to help you, but exactly. It needs to be integrated into your strategy. I mean, I just talked to somebody, had a long talk about this. He has no presence on the web. It's like, oh, I just want a website. It's like, sorry. Yes, you have to have the website. Yes, you have to have the blog, but you got to do this other stuff too, because if you just have the website, sorry, maybe you'll get some organic traffic, but you're not going to reach really the people that you want to actually buy your thing.
Exactly. And a tip that I've given to, like, I was talking to a client about Instagram, and they had a product that would be beautiful on Instagram. And I could see when I told them that, their face fell. They're like, one more thing to do. And I said, well, listen, find somebody in your factory or your place of business who will take that and own it. Give them some freedom to do this and have fun with it, so you don't have to worry about it. I mean, monitor them and make sure that they're taking care of it.
Right.
But they will probably do a better job than you would do, because that's something that you have given them to be in charge of and have fun with. And Instagram's great for behind the scenes stuff. And that kind of, they felt a little, I saw a little sigh of relief when they thought, oh, I don't have to do it. Yeah. But there's going to have to be some creativity.
I don't have to do it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a perfect piece of advice is, find somebody in the organization who would like to do it, because probably there's somebody in the organization that's already
right
on Twitter or on Instagram, on Pinterest. So, give them that job, and like you said, let them have fun.
Exactly. Well, we are coming. I mean, I could talk to you all day, Denise. This has been fun. It was like, this is the power of video, folks. Cause I've been watching your show and we've connected, and I got to see her at Social Media Marketing World. And it was like, hey, we just continued the conversation. So video micro content is a good idea as well. But I always ask this question to all of my guests. What advice would you give guys who are just getting started on Pinterest?
Well, usually the people I talk to who happen to be men are people, either my friends or clients. So let's look at from the client point of view, because this is about, I'm about business, you're about business, we work with these people. So, I think that it's a perfect place to tell your story through boards, regardless of what kind of business you have. So it's around not looking at it as like, oh, that's just a place to find wedding gowns and shoes.
Right.
Although I know a lot of men who like shoes too. So, they could probably have fun with that too. But to really look at it as a way, how do I tell my story? How do I tell my story with pictures or with video or with slides? Because Pinterest, you can put all that native,
mm-hmm.
stuff in there, SoundCloud, audio, whatever, So the other question that comes up, and Stepan Hovnanian reminded me of this from in our other show, is that even if you don't think you have something visual, you can still use Pinterest. So, when I did a show with Joan Stewart, who's the publicity hound, she talked about how she does tips from her content on a blank, just a plain color background with a tip, PR tip number one, PR tip number 500, with just content, but you are educating people. And that's one thing that also Pinterest is very good. It doesn't have to be, some fancy picture of Machu Picchu, or the most beautiful wedding gown that's ever been created. It can be something that educates. And that doesn't have to necessarily be fancy. It can just be important, valuable content. So, if a guy is feeling like, I don't know how to do this, start there. How can you educate people?
Great points. Well, Denise, thanks so much for being here. Before we go, can you tell everyone where we can find out more about you and your services you offer and all that stuff?
DeniseWakeman.com. And on all the platforms, I'm at Denise Wakeman plus Denise Wakeman. So it's really easy to find me, and also my shows at adventuresinvisibility.com. So, I'd love to have you join me anywhere on the web, really. I'm platform agnostic.
Awesome, Denise. Thanks so much. And as always, I'd love for the audience who is watching to go over to manlypinteresttip.com, click on the sidebar, subscribe to the Manly Pinterest Tips newsletter so you'll never miss a great guest like we had with Denise today, because at Manly Pinterest Tips, we're always adding testosterone one pin at a time. Thanks for watching, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining Jeff on his mission to help you be successful in the Pinterest world. Would you like to take part in a live show? Be sure to join Jeff's email community at manlypinteresttips.com. Adding testosterone, one pin at a time.